In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. As I said yesterday at Mass, there are feasts that fall during Lent every year, and we have the possibility either to celebrate the feast day or the Mass of the Feria, in which case the feast day would be commemorated. That is the case except for high feast days, such as tomorrow, the Feast of St. Joseph, when we must celebrate the feast and only commemorate the day of Lent that happens to fall that year at the same time. When the Church does allow certain feasts to fall on the calendar during Lent, either because that was the actual day that that saint was born into the better life, or because of some other reason why that date is important for the veneration of that particular saint, the Church allows the feast to be kept or commemorated. However, it is always very providential. There is always something in mind when a feast falls during Lent. The Church always has other reasons why it is very fitting that this feast, even if it be not one of the most major feasts of the year, still be allowed to be kept. Such is the case today with St. Cyril of Jerusalem, bishop and confessor and doctor of the Church. St. Cyril, like certain illustrious doctors of his time, would have been involved at this very moment during the year in a very important activity. Along with other saints like St. John Chrysostom and a generation later, St. Augustine, St. Cyril of Jerusalem would be involved at this time, that is during Lent, with the education of the catechumens, preparing them for baptism. This is how he spent his life as a priest, and it prepared for his illustrious career as a bishop. St. Cyril would be at the Council of Constantinople in 381, along with our dear St. Gregory, that is St. Gregory Nazianzen, who presided over the council, and St. Gregory of Nyssa, who was regarded as the most illustrious theologian to be at the council. What St. Cyril brought, though, was his experience as a catechist. And we find that in the glorious homilies that remain to us, these sort of catechisms that have come down to us among the writings of St. Cyril. They prepare the catechumens of his time in the 4th century most admirably for the baptism they are about to receive. And they are truly striking for us to read because they speak in such a manner that it is as though we could simply take them up as our own catechism and use them. Two things are most striking. One is the creed, how he explains the creed at the time. Remember, this is before or about the same time that the creed will be adopted by that Council of Constantinople, which he attended, as the official creed of the Church. What we find him teaching, though, in Jerusalem corresponds very admirably to that Niceno-Constantinopolitan creed that will become our creed to be recited at Mass. So much so that some historians wonder whether the true origin of that creed, the text that was finally adopted by the Council, in fact did originate in Jerusalem. So clearly was that doctrine being taught there. The other thing is the sacraments. He explains the sacraments so beautifully that indeed there is really nothing lacking between his explanation and the theology that would come later and be codified at the Council of Trent. So perfectly does he speak of the real presence especially and of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, giving us many precious details of how the sacred liturgy was celebrated at that time in Jerusalem, and allowing us to see the very striking parallels between that liturgy and our own. But the collect that we have for his Mass today, as we commemorate it, is what ties it in so perfectly with this time of Lent. The collect reads as follows: Grant us, we beseech thee, Almighty God, by the intercession of the blessed Bishop Cyril, so as to know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, that we may be accounted worthy to be numbered forevermore among the sheep who hearken to his voice. Saint Cyril is remembered, yes, as an illustrious doctor, but most of all, as the Good Shepherd. He is the imitator of the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. Because of his commitment to the truth, the fact that he would not waver in upholding that true faith in the Blessed Trinity and the Incarnation, which had been professed at the Council of Nicaea, he now, coming in the next generation after St. Athanasius, will uphold this doctrine, even though it means that he will be expelled 3 times by the Arians from his diocese, suffering the fate of so many of those fathers in the turbulent 4th century. He then ties in perfectly with what we hear today for the Friday in the 2nd week of Lent, where 2 things are explained to us in the epistle and the gospel. The epistle for today is taken from the book of Genesis. It is the story of Joseph, Joseph the patriarch, the only other Joseph that we find in the Bible. There is Joseph the patriarch, and then we must wait all the way until the New Testament to hear of another Joseph. This Joseph of the Old Testament, from which we derive so many of the words we use in our devotions to our Saint Joseph, he made him the Lord of his house and the prince of all his possessions. This is speaking of the patriarch, who after all the misfortune that befell him was finally constituted by Pharaoh the prince of Egypt, running his entire household and indeed administrating the entire country. But first, he was handed over by his own brethren. Joseph was always seen by the fathers as a prefiguration of Christ, which is why he is tied to that gospel passage today. Joseph, like our Lord, was abandoned or delivered, handed over by 12. He had 12 brethren, and so one of them led in the act of handing him over. He went by the name of Judah, which is, of course, the same as the name Judas. And this brother, Judah, of Joseph, sold him to slave traders for 20 pieces of silver. This Joseph, then, has always been seen as a prefiguration of the Good Shepherd, that as he was sent by Jacob to see if all went well with his brethren, and then was betrayed and handed over, so too the Eternal Father has built this vineyard, as we hear of in today's gospel, this vineyard which was the whole work of the Old Testament, the work of setting up the chosen people as the one to prepare for the coming of the Redeemer. When the Redeemer came, however, they did not want to hear him. They said, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him, and we shall have his inheritance," in words that echo very much the words of the brethren of Joseph. And then taking him, they cast him forth out of the vineyard, it says, and killed him. We are told then that this people have been found unworthy for what they have done, and the inheritance shall be taken away from them and shall be given to another people. That is, it shall be given to all the people. Henceforth, the inheritance, which is the life of grace, which is to come with the New Testament, will be the inheritance of all those who hearken to the voice of the Good Shepherd. As we implore the intercession of the saints again and again throughout the season of Lent, let us not forget to invoke those who are our special patrons during this time, because they fall during Lent. And so we implore especially the prayers of St. Cyril of Jerusalem today, that we may hearken always to the voice of the Good Shepherd, and so be numbered forever among his sheep. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.